speaker is Mary Slapkoff. She comes to us from the Center for, I was about to use the old name, the Teaching and Learning Services. Marcy's been involved in a number of interesting projects. My interaction with Marcy has come through a number of them, but one in particular is the Nexus Project, which is trying to relate research to teaching and how we do this. We have a fantastic research institution. Is there a way that we can use that to interact and help generate people that question things? So, Marcy.
Obviously, there's no problem with these students needing to learn how to question things. Okay, hello. So my name is Marcy Slapkoff, as Nigel said, and I work at Teaching and Learning Services. Some of you may wonder, why am I here today? Actually, I wondered that myself when Nigel first asked me if I would give a short presentation. Teaching and Learning Services, if you don't know, is a small but growing office in the basement of the McLennan Library Building. We work at all levels of the university to promote the importance of teaching and learning. We work with individual professors on their course design. We work with departments and programs on designing programs that are student-centered. And we also work at the institutional level on big issues like course evaluation, the nexus between teaching and research, even actual teaching and learning spaces. We don't work on sustainability. It's not one of our strategic objectives for the year. So, again, why am I here? Sustainability is really a personal interest of mine. If you know me at all, you know that I've been a vegetarian for 25 years. I bike to work. I recycle. We compost at our house. My husband just installed our first rain barrel, and my kids are really excited about it, just to show you what they're like. And I think the sustainability issue just sort of fits with who I am. But it's always been something that's happened outside of work. It hasn't really been connected to my professional practice. Until a couple of years ago, when I had the opportunity to go to the ASHI, that was mentioned before, the American Association for Sustainability in Higher Education, I had the opportunity to go to a workshop they were giving in San Diego. George McCourt went to the same workshop. This was a workshop for campus leaders on how to integrate sustainability into higher education. I had an incredible time. I learned so much. I soaked up every second of the two-day workshop. There were tours of LEED certified buildings. There was really inspiring conversations about the higher goals of higher education. There were presentations by professors who had already found ways to integrate sustainability into their courses. So I was really surprised when, during one of the final sort of wine and cheese closing meetings, I had this chance to go and talk to the conference organizers. And I was probably gushing a little bit and thanking them and so excited, so inspired by the whole event. And they told me that they nearly didn't accept me to the conference, that I wasn't part of the intended audience. I wasn't an administrator, and I wasn't a faculty member, and they didn't really see at that point how someone in my position, working at Teaching and Learning Services, how someone in my position could actually contribute to this cause. So that gave me a lot to think about. And when I came home, I was really committed to trying to find these links between higher education, sustainability, and educational development, which is my work. So let me talk a little bit about what we do at Teaching and Learning Services. One of our core activities is course design. I'm going to talk about this a little bit, and then I'll talk about how we can kind of re-envision this model to include ideas of sustainability, and I'll give some examples of how that can be done. So at TLS, we work with professors on how to align all the elements of their course to support student learning. We talk about course design, and we talk about these four elements that are listed here, and we ask a lot of questions. So we ask professors, in terms of the content of your course, what is the subject matter? What are the main concepts that you're hoping to get across? Then we also talk a lot about learning outcomes, and we ask, what are the knowledge, skills, values, and attitudes that you want your students to develop? We try to move the conversation from a transmission model of education, which we're also accustomed to a more student learning focused paradigm of education. We also talk about specific strategies for instruction. So we want to know what kind of activities will support this type of learning, this type of more actively engaging learning. And lastly, but certainly not least, we talk about assessment. So we ask professors, what types of evidence do you need to gather from your students to demonstrate that they've learned in this really meaningful, student-centered way? So when I came back from ASHI, I looked at these questions and I thought, where does the question of sustainability fit in? So I started doing my research. Just because of this interest, some opportunities started coming up, like opportunities to meet with Nigel or to meet with the students, and started gathering an idea and reading more and trying to figure this out. So here are some ideas. They're just a few samples of, in general, how you can look at those elements of course design and try and connect ideas of sustainability. In terms of content, I think interdisciplinarity is now pretty commonly accepted as a kind of foundational aspect of a course that relates to sustainability in some way. Interdependence is another key idea, one that Bill Clinton kept coming back to during his speech last week. In terms of learning outcomes, we need to include content-based learning outcomes. Acquisition of knowledge is clearly a very important and fundamental aspect of a university degree. But there's other things, too, that are equally important or maybe even a little bit more important. Those are systems thinking and the ability to envision the future. Peter Senge talks about these two being really core aspects to a university education. We all need to ask ourselves, every member of the university community needs to ask themselves, is the future we're heading for the future we want? And if it's not, what are we going to do to change it? We need students who can really tackle those kinds of questions. In terms of strategies for instruction and assessment, sitting in a lecture is a great way to hear new ideas and acquire some new knowledge, but it's not necessarily a good way to learn how to think in a systems type of way. You need to experience that. So I think sustainability calls for real experiential, inquiry-based, active, real-world problem solving, both on the campus and outside in the community. It's kind of been striking me in the conversations that we keep hearing this sort of expression at university and as we go out into the real world, as if there's a kind of a wall between the university and the real world. Like, those are the same thing, and I think part of it is that we need to start thinking of the university as part of the world, and those membranes need to be a bit more porous. So these are sort of theoretical, and I think it's important to look at some real-life examples, so I've brought some of those. In terms of content, I have a pretty neat example from Northern Arizona University. This is from an art history teacher who took one of the ASHI-type workshops at her own campus. And at first she thought, of course there's links between geography, biology, engineering. There's links between those disciplines and sustainability, but not art history. But as she started thinking about it more and delving into it a bit more deeply, she realized that there actually was a connection. She was studying medieval churches, and she started looking into the process that was required to create all those stained glass windows. Guess what? They needed trees. They needed trees for firewood. So the proliferation of all these medieval churches at that time really started with led to an unprecedented consumption of trees in Britain, and really was the beginning, I think, or at least contributed to deforestation in Britain as early as the 15th century. So she shared this insight with her students, and she brought it to the present day and said, artists really need to be careful in selecting the materials that they're going to use in terms of sustainability. They need to be aware of the larger issues. In terms of learning outcomes, I'm going to reference one of Professor Nigel Roulet's courses that I've had the good fortune to observe this semester just a couple of times, Geography 501. So he's teaching a modeling course, and he makes it clear to the students, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but he makes it clear to his students that Developing mathematical proficiency and expertise in using Stella, the modeling software, those are important, but they're not the key outcomes that he's hoping for his students to develop. What he really wants is for students to learn how to think. I find that's really inspiring, and I think that being able to say that to your students is also really empowering for them. He tells his students that 9 times out of 10 a model will fail, and that's good, because that's when you learn something. So I think a lot of times we teach our students to look for the right answer, and oftentimes, there's so much more to learn from the wrong answer. In terms of strategies for instruction and assessment, well, for this, I was going to reference the most common example that probably most of you sitting in the room know, which is David Orr at Oberlin College and how he had his students actually design and create their environmental studies building. But then yesterday I discovered a collaboration that's going on right now between McGill School of Engineering and ETS, part of UCAM. They're actually, maybe many of you already know about this or read about it in yesterday's Gazette, but they're actually, students are working in teams to develop proposals for a new student center that's going to be in Griffintown. And they're really considering principles of eco-design in this. And the school is going to, hopefully, they say they will, take one of these proposals and integrate it into their final plans. I find that incredibly inspiring. I think all of these examples are very inspiring, and there's many more around the campus. There's many other examples of fantastic professors who are doing really interesting, engaging things with their students, and students who are meeting the challenge, taking it and going out there and working on really meaningful projects. I think the challenge is that it's not as ubiquitous as we'd like it to be. There's a lot of work to be done. We still embrace that transmission model of education that hasn't maybe changed that much since the beginning of education, as Jonathan had told us earlier. And there's something to be said. We know that a student learning-centered model of education leads to deeper learning, more sustained learning, and more transformational learning. So what are we going to do about it? I think we all can make a difference in trying to promote these types of changes. The other thing I wanted to say about these professors is that they face the same barriers as everyone else. They have to publish, they have to submit grades, they have to get a certain number of students in their classes, even if the class has enough seats for 700 students. But still, somehow, they manage to do something different with their students because they really care about student learning and they're willing to kind of find their own wiggle room and find a way to engage students in something that's really going to help them develop into critical thinkers, autonomous, engaged citizens of the future. There's no guarantee that a student who learns all of this and that the student who takes all of this out of such a class and learns in this manner will be able to transfer these skills to another course or even to their future lives as they go into the future. But it's certainly a good head start. So in closing, I just want to kind of remind us, I'm sure we all realize this, but we're all part of the system. And, you know, as an undergrad, you may not have the opportunity to actually build a new building or change the institution of McGill or improve society or save the ecosphere. All that may not be possible in 3 or 4 years. But you can change your behavior and you can change your attitudes, and we can all do that. Another idea that I got from Peter Senge is that leadership is not about giving directions. It's about modeling change. So I think we all have the capacity to make some changes, and we all actually have a responsibility to look ahead and help our students develop into the leaders of the future, leaders who can really develop a healthy, just, sustainable future. Thank you.